fighting for America.
Hamas doesn't care about the civilian population in Gaza. They embed themselves in civilian areas. They use hospitals and schools and mosques. They want those civilians dead.
Fighting for Idaho.
And the Harry Reid Senate's become a factory for termites that are more interested in winning votes for Democrats in November elections than they are for winning jobs for the American people. That's become the norm.
Fighting for you.
It's one thing to listen to people and to talk with them when you are a candidate for a position. Now, I think that we might have a qualitatively different conversation, and I want to listen first before trying to give my views.
Voices, Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
We need to look out for one another, and that's what we try to do here each and every day.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Thank you all for joining us. Gasoline is a big topic. Fuel is a big topic. And it cuts both ways, whether you're Republican, Democrat, liberal, or conservative. Everybody has to pay at the pump, has the pain. You know, why are we producing more oil than anyone else in the world, and yet Idaho gets hosed with the highest gas prices in the nation? Well, okay, not the highest, but more than the national average, number one. Number two, could we be seeing the fracking revolution hitting Canyon County? Big article in the paper last week. And there's a big meeting today, and the young lady who's responsible for this meeting, she's actually on her way in to Boise to talk about it, is our friend, Alma the Anti-Fracker, who joins us now here at 580 KIDO. Alma, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good. So how goes the anti-fracking fight?
Well, we just concluded 2 months' worth of negotiations on rulemaking, or they're calling it negotiated rule making. I'm actually prefer to refer to it as railroaded rulemaking, but meaning that industry got probably about 98% of what they were asking for, and we got maybe, you know, 1% and the occasional bone to quiet us down, I guess. But and that meeting that you're referencing is this morning at 9 o'clock in the Lincoln Auditorium at the State House. And it's the meeting of the Idaho Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, and they're going to be seeing these rules. Mr. Johnson, the program manager for the Idaho Department of Lands and the commission, is going to be submitting these rules to the commission for their consideration.
Alma, we saw that article in the paper a couple weeks ago, the governor in Canyon County, people looking at natural gas. Your thoughts on that?
Well, they did a big tour, the governor and his entourage. I unfortunately was not invited along, but it was just, you know, in my opinion, Kevin, it was just a dog and pony show, because, you know, your thoughts about the fact that we have some of the highest gas prices in the nation, and, you know, we're producing what they're labeling as this homegrown energy, but, you know, the problem with that is that, you know, they're banking on putting that in rail cars and shipping it out of here. We're not going to get the advantage of it. And, you know, one of my thoughts is that if they're going to be using our resources and we're going to be taking these huge hits to our infrastructure, to our roads, you know, the use of water, possible contamination of water, then I think there ought to be some kind of a mandate that, you know what, if you produce it here, it stays here. I think that's fair, you know, but they, of course, don't want to consider that.
Well, they're not going to say it's fair. They're going to say, hey, it's capitalism, and we need to sell it to the Japanese, the Chinese, and the Ukrainians.
Well, and that's exactly what they're going to do, because, you know, the Japanese and the Chinese are paying 5 times more for it than we are. So, you know, but the problem with that is that that's all our resources going into that. Into that production. We're the ones that are taking those risks. You know, it's our risks to our groundwater. And one of the things, Kevin, that I wanted to spend a little bit of time this morning, if you don't mind.
Well, before we get to that here, Alma, let me throw out the numbers for all your fans. If you disagree with Alma, 580-5436, 580-5436. But, Alma, before we get to your talking points, and by the way, as opposed to everybody else, thank you for saying, hey, can I get to my talking points? But many people are going to say, Alma, look at Wyoming, look at the Dakotas. If we can get some of that big money here, we're going to get out of the minimum wage job game, and we're going to get some big jobs, whether it's actually fracking or supporting the fracking, or people spending big money on coffee or donuts.
Well, and then, you know, granted, I'm sure there are some people spending some money on coffee and donuts, Kevin. I'll grant you that. As far as the jobs equation, all these license plates on all these trucks I'm seeing are Wyoming and Texas and Louisiana and Colorado and Oklahoma and very, very, very few Idaho plates out there. I mean, these rigs travel, and those roughnecks on those rigs travel with them, and they're from other states. They're from states that have this activity already. So those jobs are, you know, there are probably are a few service jobs that will be created, you know, minimum wage jobs. But the jobs on those rigs that, you know, pay a decent amount of money, not enough for the risks that are associated with that activity, I don't think the offset is anywhere near sufficient, especially when you look at, I mean, if you travel out our Little Willow Road right now, which the county of Payette already spent over $100,000 repairing, they're now to the point where they're just throwing gravel in these potholes that have formed from the extreme truck traffic. And I think that the county of Payette in a 6-month period collected $50 and change in royalties. And we're looking at over $100,000. And then that's conservative. I mean, that wouldn't even begin to repair that roadway in a sufficient manner to be able to handle that kind of traffic. So the numbers don't pencil out. That's the bottom line. They don't pencil out. And I challenge industry to provide a set of numbers that do, but because they can't. If you factor in all those externalities that industry likes to leave out, those numbers do not pencil out.
Let's go to the phones, and we go to Bill in New Plymouth for Alma the Anti-Fracker at 580KIDO. Hey, Bill.
How are you doing this morning?
Great. Go ahead, please.
Well, I just have a question for Alma. She must not realize that the city of New Plymouth is using the gas well that's west of town. It's right coming in from Intermountain Gas, and that's the gas well that they're using that was drilled here a year or so ago.
So, Bill, I'm actually very well aware of that. You're talking about the well, the only producing well so far that's on the Tunison Dairy. And I don't know about your gas bill, but I have a lot of friends in New Plymouth who have not seen their gas bill go down one dime.
Well, and I understand that could be the big $64 question, as it were, that are we going to see any kind of relief or benefit from this? Now, how they determine what Intermountain Gas pays for this, I have no idea. But the fact is, they are using some of it, and the pipeline is now coming south toward the dehydrator plant, and I guess we'll have to wait and see.
All right, Bill, thank you for the call at 580KIDO. So, Alma, mm-hmm. We get back to this, and, you know, Bill's disputing what you're saying.
Well, I didn't quite hear him disputing what I was saying. I think he actually, if he's in New Plymouth and he hasn't seen a decrease in his natural gas bill, then I think that sort of makes the point. You know, if the city of New Plymouth was going to benefit by having that well right there, and he's right, it is plumbed into, you know, that gas is plumbed, what little amount is going through. My understanding is there's not a lot that well isn't producing like they want it to produce. But the fact remains, Kevin, that they're going to get that gas, and they're going to get as much for it as they can. And if they are not getting it, you know, if the city of New Plymouth, residents of New Plymouth don't want to pay their price, then they're just going to put it in the pipeline and send it to China or somebody who's going to. So, you know, that gets me back to my original point. By gosh, you know, they're calling this homegrown energy, then keep it here.
Yeah, but on the other hand, you're still going to employ people from Idaho to work these things.
I'm sorry, Kevin, what was that?
You're still going to employ Idahoans to work this.
No. I mean, you got a bunch of guys out of Texas. You should see all the Texas plates. I think I'm in Lubbock when I'm driving around out here. Texas, 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 Texas. Seriously. Well, they're not Idaho plates. They're the bulk of them, with the occasional Colorado and, you know, Louisiana.
Well, let's go to Jordan here at 580KIDO for Alma the Anti-Fracker.
Hey, I have a friend who's actually driving a truck transporting water in North Dakota right now, and he's making $1,200 a day. He has his family here in Boise, and he'd love to be out here driving those trucks around. He tells me that almost every time I see him, but he's killing it out there. And I know there's that Frack Nation documentary that had come out not too long ago, and that sounds like there's a lot of positive things associated with fracking. And even if these people are coming from out of town, that's good for our economy.
Yeah, how about that, Alma?
Well, the guys coming from out of town aren't staying in Idaho. They're staying over in Ontario, Oregon. So there's that. We're not.
How do you know where they're sleeping?
Because we don't have any hotels in Paya County. The nearest hotels are in Ontario, Oregon, and it's, you know, you can't miss all
what
those
about,
types of flights.
What about
that will keep up? That will keep up with demand. I mean, look at how much North Dakota's booming once they start fracking out there, and places are getting thrown up like crazy out there for hotels, and people are renting out plots of land for a lot of money just to pitch up a tent in their front yard. So once you have the demand, there's going to be the supply.
Well, and you know, that I agree with you to a degree that, although having said that, I know a lot of people out there in the Bakken as well, and, you know, they're happy to go there and make money, but most of those folks, if you have a private conversation with them, do not want to see what's happening in the Bakken happen here in Idaho, because if you talk to people in North Dakota, their quality of life has suffered greatly. And even though you have tremendous amounts of revenue being generated with that oil drilling activity that's going on, you have horrendous tolls to infrastructure. They can't keep up. You know, the crime rate, the drug trafficking. I just read an article 2 days ago about prostitution rings and child trafficking in North Dakota. That is a big problem. And I don't think those are problems that those of us who live in Idaho and cherish our quality of life want to see, quite frankly.
Well, let's see what Jordan has to say about it. Jordan?
Well, I mean, I see the economic benefits. I feel like some other things can be taken as they come. I've just been, as I said, just one of my friends who have been out there. He has only positive things to say about it. So,
all right, well,
I got to go with the people who have experience out there.
Jordan, thank you for the call. We go to Liberal Steve at 580 KIDO for Alma the Anti-Fracker. And the reason why is Liberal Steve does go to the Dakotas quite a bit.
Well, I had two questions for her. First question is, what have you heard? You know, I got some acreage out around Holmdale, Wilder area, and I'm hearing this stuff where they're testing out there.
Now, do you own the mineral rights, Liberal Steve?
Oh, absolutely. Who would be stupid enough to buy some property without owning the mineral rights? So, anyway, my question to her was, I'm hearing all kinds of rumors that they're going to start checking around notice in those areas for fracking. And then my second question...
You didn't even have your first question. It's just a statement.
It was. What has she heard about people testing out around notice and such for fracking? And then my second question, and Kevin was absolutely right, I have over probably 65 friends that are working over there in the Balkans and live in the cities over there. And one texted me yesterday, and Governor Hovind there asked for a major influx of drug enforcement agencies because meth and heroin and some other things are so out of control in the oil well areas. And is that what we bring into here and this stuff starts to happen? You stay fired up and I'll listen to your answer.
All right, Alma.
So, well, thank you, Liberal Steve. So in answer to your question about well drilling, oil and gas drilling activity in Canyon County, the first well was drilled in Canyon County just north of Notice in March. That well, for whatever reason, was deemed not to be commercially viable and has since been plugged. So, but there is a lot of leasing going on, not just in Canyon County, but in all of the Treasure Valley and Malheur County, Oregon. With reference to, you know, the crime and the drug activity and, you know, the STDs and all of that, yes, it's a real problem in the Bakken, and that's what happens when you bring this kind of industrialized activity where you've got these, you know, young men and, you know, and some family men, but a lot of young guys with, you know, that are making some decent money you know, and work real hard and play real hard. And sometimes their playing real hard involves things that, you know, we might not all agree with. In fact, I would think that most
is
of us
that enough to keep
with.
Out the economic engine that could revive Idaho?
In my opinion, yes. Well, not just that, but all of those other externalities that are associated with it. But the one thing, Kevin.
Well, who's to say that drilling fracking here is going to bring in the prostitutes?
Well,
we got Sheriff Donahue, we got Sheriff Rainey. They'll stop
right.
it.
That's what I think the sheriffs in North Dakota would like to think that they could stop it too. I'm sure they're not real thrilled about.
They're not Sheriff Rainey.
No, that's true. They're not Sheriff Rainey, and we've got Sheriff Huff out in Payette County, who's a good guy, and I'm fairly certain that he would do everything he could to stop that level of activity as well. But the problem is, you replace one, and here comes three others. So, you know, I mean, if it were all that easy, Kevin, we wouldn't have a drug problem in the United States, would we?
All right, Alma, hang on. More coming up.
Okay.
580-5436, 580-KIDO, talking about the future of energy and fracking here in the Treasure Valley. We're drilling for natural gas in Canyon County. Is this a good thing? Alma says no. What about you? If it means lowering our fuel prices, I think a lot of people, and jobs, what's wrong with that? 580-5436, let's get you to work.
I'm digging up home.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
I'm resurrecting memories.
Good morning, Kevin Miller with you. Thank you all for joining us. Our friend Alma the Anti-Fracker with us. We go to Keith in Meridian at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning. I have some stats for the previous caller who said, hey, we'll deal with the rest when he gets here. A statement of ignorance in that I have been tracking both arrests in the area of drugs and prostitution in the Canyon, in the Payette and Malheur County areas, as well as postings on Facebook and the personals and backpage.com. There's another reason for that, but not for personal use, obviously, or hope you'd realize that. 300% increase in postings since 8 months ago, what I've been seeing in those areas. Now, 300% is a big number. Let's give you factual numbers. About 5 on average a week to now 15. And arrests in the area of prostitution have gone up 120% in that area, in the Malheur and the Payette County areas. And, of course, around here we've seen that as well in our region. But what we are seeing is an increase. Now, I do not specifically know if these are directly tied into that type of industry that's coming in, but in that region, that is the most solid growth area of jobs that we have seen. Other than that, I leave it up to the reader to discern from that what they would like.
So what are they posting that you said postings are up?
Yeah, postings in the personal saying, hey, if you know my name, you've got my number, give me a call, we'll hook up again. Basically prostitution is what it is. And there's the other element of, hey, let's get together. I've got some crystals with me and things like that. Or I've got some pretty powder flower, which is another way of saying meth, and in that regard. Or I've got some fancy syrup with me if you've got something you need a little fix on. So you'll see postings like that. Then you'll just see outright, hey, let's get a hold of each other and let's go for it, whatever. Or, you know, they want 200 roses or 100 roses or whatever you want to call it, whatever they post. And I had a family member who had noted that they had posted in there and were getting all kinds of calls, and I looked into that. And having seen some information, I just started tracking this information personally to see what kind of things are going on there. My wife and I were looking to move back there for a job. We were looking for jobs over there, and want to see what was going on in that area to see if it's something we want to move to, because we're not liking what we're seeing around here in the Boise area as much anymore.
Well, then you got the prostitutes. All right, Keith, thank you for the call. All right, Alma, what do you make of that? I just think the law enforcement needs to do their job, and you'll bust the prostitutes and everything will be good.
Well, and I that's interesting. I'm really grateful for your caller for providing that information. And, in fact, I would love it if he would send that information to me at Idaho, all spelled out, Idaho Care, C-A-R-E, at Yahoo. I would love to have that because I'd love to get that into Sheriff Huff's hands, to be honest with you.
Well, Sheriff Huff should be trolling the Internet like Keith was there. And, why does Keith have to do his job for him?
Well, the problem, Kevin, is a resource issue. You know, I think very highly of our Payette County Sheriff's Department and Sheriff Huff.
Well, apparently not, because you think they can't handle the prostitutes.
Well, I think that they do the very best they can. You know, I'm sure if he had, a dozen more officers and had the budget for that, maybe it might be a different story. But, they've.
Well, you get more budget because you get more jobs and people pay more taxes. Alma, what is it that you wanted to share with us here? What were your talking points?
So what I wanted to share, Kevin, was in this draft rule, the set of the rules that we have, they are just obliterating private property rights. And I'll keep it short because I know you're coming up on a break. But the way it stands right now, if industry gets 55% of the mineral rights, doesn't have to be a big landowner, and that person doesn't even have to live there. It could be a mineral rights investor out of Dubai who's bought 55% of the mineral rights in a section, which is 640 acres, then industry will be able to force you, the rest of those 45% of those mineral rights owners, not only to allow them to extract that gas up from underneath your property, whether you want them to or not, but also they could have infrastructure on your property, even if you own your mineral rights, which is unheard of in any other state. It is complete obliteration.
What does Governor Otter say about this?
He's all for it. I mean, all of our lawmakers are all for this. When they signed off on House Bill 464 2 years ago and stripped the authority away from the local units of government and transferred everything up to the state level and what I call a rubber stamp process, this was what they had in mind. They want to be able to force people to not only to take those mineral rights out from underneath their property, but to have infrastructure that they don't want on their property. And think about this for a second, Kevin. Maybe my minerals, I know what those things are going to be worth in 10, 15 years from now. And maybe I want to leave them under the ground because I want my grandbaby to be able to go to Harvard Medical School if she wants to. And that's her ticket into Harvard Medical School. How dare they tell me when I have to have those minerals taken out from underneath my ground? It's un-American.
And that's in Idaho.
That's in Idaho. Yes, it is. So anybody wants any information, idahocare@yahoo.com. You guys are welcome to give out my cell phone number. They can find a link to the draft rules on the Idaho Department of Land's website, www.idl.idaho.gov. Go to rulemaking. Look at those draft rules and look at that section called integration, and they'll see exactly what I'm talking about.
Alma, the anti-fracker, good luck in your meeting today.
Thank you so much, Kevin. And we just pulled up. I'll see you in a second.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Coming up next, we'll take a look at brush fires and what you can do to prevent any possibility of fires coming up next here during the thunderstorms at 580KIDO.
Good morning, Kevin.
You're a great man. You know, I can sit there and listen to Kevin Miller. It knows my heart good.
I like your subject matter this morning.
You have a great stance as far as your program is concerned. We appreciate Kevin Miller on KIDO.
Must hear radio every morning with Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller with you here, talking about the possibility of flash floods and what that means to your home. Joining us now is Anna Altsopoulos at 580 KIDO. Anna, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Not bad. You know, we've been taking off the flash flood watch here in the Treasure Valley area, but certainly in parts of the state, it's a concern. And most of us, until we, I guess, experience what happened in California the other day, don't take it that seriously.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And there's a few things that your residents can remember. First and foremost, turn around, don't drown. And what that means is do not attempt to drive through flooded roadways. It only takes about 18 to 24 inches of rushing water to wash an SUV off the road, so it's really important for everyone to remember that. Stay at home or indoors while under a threat, and just heed those warnings and pay attention and learn what the threat is and when that's taking place so that way you can stay safe.
Well, why do we underestimate the flash floods?
I think a lot of people probably underestimate that because they don't necessarily think that the rushing water can make a big difference, but it really can. There's a difference between rushing water and rising water, and rushing water can be especially dangerous, especially when there are conditions like wildfires had just ravaged through the area and the ground is still burnt. Those can be especially dangerous situations when you deal with slow-moving thunderstorms coming through and dumping heavy rains at a fast pace.
You know, especially here in the Northwest, I was doing some research for this segment last night with Ray Amaya, and, you know, apparently after the fires happen, it does something to the soil, so it's just, you know, it doesn't absorb the water like the normal soil does because it's all burnt and has this kind of muddy residue that, again, you know, the water doesn't go into the ground. It goes over the ground.
It stays on top. That's exactly right. And that's a very, very dangerous situation when you mix those two together. So it's the same situation when you have a drought situation as well and you get some heavy rains as well. The water just stays on top and fast flows and can create some really dangerous situations for people on the roads and for people within their homes as well.
So we've talked a little bit about vehicle safety. What about for the homeowner? I mean, do you just line your home with a bunch of sandbags?
Well, that's one way to do it. Sandbags are definitely a way to make sure you protect your home. But there are a few things that you can do now today that can help you in the long term. There's a couple things. First and foremost, clear your yard of any debris or plant materials that could block water flow. The whole idea is that you want the water to flow away from your home. So clearing that yard to make sure water flows away from your home instead of in your home is really important. Another thing that homeowners can do is clean out gutters. Gutters are there to help move the water away from your home. So if you have clogged gutters, that's not going to be a good situation when you have a lot of water. So take some time to go ahead and clean out your gutters as well. There's other couple things that you can do inside your home to make sure that you're protected. Elevating your indoor appliances like a washer or a dryer can help prevent damage to those in case water does come into the home, as well as preventing damage to the entire home as a whole.
Now, Anna, what about the children?
Children, keep them away from any areas of high water, storm drains or ditches. Hidden dangers could lie underneath that water, bacteria or down power lines and things like that. You just don't know. So it's really important to keep your kids out of the puddles. I know it's something that we all think is fun, but it's really, really dangerous to sit there and play through in that water, especially while it's actively raining.
Right. And of course, now every house and every vehicle, you know, has the electronics that rival something we used to see in science fiction.
Yes. Yeah. So it is important to make sure you keep those off the floor in a safe place within your home to make sure that those aren't damaged and that there's no sort of electric charge or things like that from the water if water does come into your home or into your vehicle. Another thing that's really, really good for families to do is take an inventory of your – that's something you can do right now. Snap some photos of the possessions inside your home and create sort of a home inventory so that way in case you do experience flood damage in your home, you know what you have, you know what items were damaged and what you had before, and you can make that insurance process also easier as well.
580KIDO, anything else that we should be aware of and, you know, what we should be monitoring and the like? Again, you just take a look at the devastation in California that happened over the weekend, that you have people driving on the roads, and Anna, boom, they're in the mud and have to be rescued.
Absolutely. Just make sure you pay attention to local news outlets such as yourself, to make sure that you know what's coming and you can plan accordingly. That's really, really important. The other thing that the last thing we would recommend is take a look at flood insurance. Homeowners insurance typically doesn't cover flood insurance, so it is important to have that extra layer of protection. So we encourage families to go out and check floodsmart.gov to see what options are available for them. so that they can have that extra layer of home protection as well.
Right. And like you said, it's you can't underestimate the damage that flash floods can do.
Yes.
Especially around here, we've got these irrigation canals, and you're hanging out there, and boom, you're washed away.
Yeah, people often underestimate the power of water, and it's something that we shouldn't do. And take heed and listen to evacuation warnings and anything like that that would potentially affect a family.
Anna, we'd appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
All right, 580KIDO, some much-needed information, and thankfully we're not under watch. And by the way, are we not blessed in this great state? You know, my wife, Dorothy, God bless her. Whenever I talk to her and I will look at some of the states with the storms, whether it's, you know, Tennessee or Alabama or wherever, my favorite are the hurricanes in North Carolina. She goes, well, aren't you glad we live here? You're not taking me anywhere near those places. I go, well, we can visit. She goes, nope. And we're so blessed with the weather. And I was talking to a friend of mine, and he said, well, Kevin, why don't you make a big deal out of the weather? And I said to him, I go, hey, man, there is no weather here. I mean, last night, if you're watching the news, whether regardless of what station you're watching it, I mean, well, the thunderstorms can come in. And, you know, we've got this circulating pattern. And I'm going, thunderstorms? Now, yes, there is a threat because, once again, it's Idaho. And we had a great, great pre-summer rain session, if you will. As opposed to last year, it was Drought City. But, I mean, everything is dry. So, yeah, there's a legitimate danger with the lightning causing fires, as we've seen. However, on the other hand, compared to some of these other places, heck, even in the West, even in, you know, Seattle or Portland or wherever, we have great weather. So it's such a blessing that we don't have these outside elements to stress us out. I guess that's where I come in. Let's get you to traffic. Speaking of...
I'm back. Weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, K. Miller with you. Hope you're having a great day. You're saying, Kevin, I'm just starting. Well, you know, some things are, I guess, best left to the imagination. On my Facebook there, I posted something about 11 facts you didn't know about Footloose. That, what was it, Kevin Bacon was choice number two? Choice number two. Choice number one was Rob Lowe, but I guess he broke his ankle. It still wouldn't have been the same without Rob Lowe, because, I mean, he's a good-looking guy, and he's still a good-looking guy. And, you know, I'm sitting there talking to my wife, Dorothy, about this last night. And she, yeah, we can let this go. Dance along, if you will. And she goes, oh, he's still a good-looking guy. And I said to her, I go, Dorothy, you know, I'm offended by that comment because I don't sit there and talk to you about good-looking young women or old women. And she goes, oh, yes, you do. You and your cosmetically appealing comments. That is not the same thing as saying Rob Lowe is still pretty. But anyway, at 580KIDO, Ray Amaya and I are talking about his thoughts on aging. And he says, you know, Kevin, it's too bad that we have to get old. And look, Ray works hard, goes out hiking, and does all these wonderful things. He's a young man. He's staying young. I, on the other hand, I've been an old man for a long time, and I think there's something to be said for age, if you will. We fight age, and gosh knows the 50-year-olds of today are certainly a lot younger in spirit and vitality than the 50-year-olds of yesteryear. And, you know, 40's the new 20, 50's the new 30, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because thankfully we're living longer. But there really is something to be said for experience. There is something to be said for maturity. And unfortunately, as they say, youth is wasted on the young. And one thing that I always advocate about age is that we know our limitations. And so while this song Footloose was going on, I'm watching Hoda and Kathy Lee. If you don't know them, I'm sure they're, what, in their 50s or 60s, which is great. Nothing wrong with that. But they're dancing to this song as if they're 16 or 17. Now, I was 16 when this movie came out. I'm now 46. It's 30 years old. And watching these senior citizens, and look, I love senior citizens. Heck, I am a senior citizen. But dancing and gyrating as if they were doo-wopping was something that I hope brings a smile to your face and just reinforces the fact of knowing your limitations. It would be like Kevin Miller running around with a half shirt. Heck, I'm lucky I could find a shirt that fits. Let's get you to work safely and on time. 8:59, Kevin Miller in the morning. Remember, 580KIDO.com, your home for news, information, opinion, and give us a like on Facebook. Hey, as always, we do our very best to entertain you, inform you. We'll try harder tomorrow. Good day. God bless. Keep the faith. Serving Emmett.